This is a historic night. You know, this is the part four of a four-part series we're doing called Taking Ground, where we're explaining the vision that God's given us as a church and where we're headed as a church. And I told you 4 weeks ago that 2014, I'm being very honest when I say this, is that 2014 has the potential to be the most exciting, the most challenging, the most faith-stretching year the Rock Church has ever had. And it's going to be exciting to be a part of it. And I'm so glad that you guys could come tonight, because tonight is kind of the crescendo of our series. This is what we've been waiting for. We're excited about this. And this will be a night that we'll talk about for the history of our church. This really will be. You're part of something that it's historic for us as a church. And I'm so glad that you're going to be a part of it. And because I know you're going to say you're a part of it, I don't want anybody to say they're a part of it that wasn't. So I'm going to take a picture of you guys real quick here just to prove that you're a part of it. So I'm going to have house lights real quick. I do want to take a picture just because I can, okay? That's all right. So more house lights. I got to see these guys. Whoops, there I went. Over here, I'll give you a chance to be silly in just a second. Just smile right now, okay? Okay, and this side over here, smile. Okay, now act like you're excited. Raise your hand or do something kind of fun. Really? Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so lame. You guys, oh, we got spirit. Yes, we do. That's it. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do tonight. Let me explain it real quick. I'm going to give us a big picture. We told you 4 weeks ago that tonight we're going to give you the plans. That's our topic for tonight, the plan of what we're going to do, which is, again, thrilling. You're going to hear about it tonight. I'm going to give you a bigger picture of our 2020 vision, what what we're trusting God for in the future, of what God could do, what he might do through us. And then Josh is going to bring it down to specifically what we have planned, some big plans we have for this year. And then Steele is going to explain how that affects each one of us individually, how each one of us has a part to play in that. And then we're going to bring 8 new leaders up. 5 new pastors, 3 new deacons, and we're going to lay hands on them. We've got John Meyer and Pat Sokol, a couple of our regional directors that are here tonight. They're going to partake in praying. So, again, a very exciting night. So let me just get right into it. We have what we call a 2020 vision. And our goal, our purpose, our mission as a church, we really believe while we're in Utah, God wants us to reach Utah with the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, he came to this planet, he died, he was buried, and he resurrected on the third day, and he offers eternal life to anyone who will humble themselves and repent, turn from their sins, and turn to Christ. If you don't know for sure tonight, in fact, that you're going to go to heaven, if you're not absolutely 100% sure tonight, if that's you, you need to settle that tonight. Amen. You need to go back to the connections booth or talk to me or one of the pastors and get that settled tonight. That's what we're on mission to do, is to tell the whole world one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. But we are no doubt on mission in Utah, aren't we? God has given us a tremendous mission field. It bugs me when people tell me, Christians, oftentimes I'll meet with new pastors that come to town or come to Utah, or people that moved here from California, usually. Okay, they come from California, and they're like, oh, man, I just want to leave Utah as fast as I can, because this is just, I feel this oppression when I come into the state, and they give me this line, I just want to slap them, because I think this is the best place in the planet to do ministry, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. And I ask them, I always challenge them, why don't you join us? Why don't you quit complaining and join us in the mission? Quit throwing bombs at people that don't believe what you believe and start sharing the truth with them. Love them to Christ. And I believe if we win Utah men and women, we'll have a worldwide impact. Amen. We will. I talk again last week with the current president of the Worldwide Church of God. I had a nice conversation with him. He was here for the Ravi event. We talked on the stage of the Tabernacle on Temple Square, Joseph Tkach Jr. and I. And I looked at him again. I said, Joseph, I'm so glad you're here. We've talked a number of times. I said, you're in with us, aren't you? You know God's going to do something special in Utah. You see, the Worldwide Church of God was transformed in the 80s and 90s into an evangelical church from a self-professed cult. They'll look back and say, we were a cult. One of the fastest growing churches in the world in Pasadena, California, with Herbert W. Armstrong. They transitioned into an evangelical church. I was talking with their president. he knows something's happened in Utah. Do you guys know something's happened in Utah?
Yeah.
He does. He says, I'm all in. I'm praying for you guys. I believe God's going to do it. So if we win Utah, we reach the world. I'm going to fly through some cool things. This is, if you're like me and you like charts, then tonight is the Super Bowl of charts. I'm just saying. You are going to be in hog heaven. And I just got to give a shout out to Matt Scribner, who updated my charts and made them even prettier. But this is a chart night for me anyway. I'm going to go fast. I want to explain to you some things about Utah, because we have a vision to reach, have 20 life-giving services by the year 2020 as part of our Rock Church ministry. There's 2.8 million souls in Utah. Less than 3% of those know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, the way we do, the way the Bible says we need to. Less than 3%, that bugs me too. That bugs me to no end. That's got to change. 2.8 million people, very few know Jesus Christ. How are we going to reach the state? Check this out. To me, this is telling. Let's just go county by county here. If we just look at Salt Lake County, obviously the biggest county population-wise, it's got big cities. If we can reach Salt Lake County, which we're in now, and Sandy is in, and if we also reach Utah County, that has 500,000 people in Utah County, and just go north a little bit to Davis-Weber County, that accounts for 76% of the population in Utah, just those three counties right here along the Wasatch Front. And again, as an engineer and as a strategist, you go, well, we got to focus there. And we are. That's where we're at. And we can do more there. And we must do more there. But again, if we're thinking strategically, how can we get 20 services? Where should we plant more churches? Because you can just throw a dart anywhere in Utah and it needs a church. It does. Unlike any other state in the union. And you'll hear Josh talk about some fascinating statistics tonight. Let's just keep going. If we go down to Washington County, where St. George is, we add that in, and that takes, and then we go up to Cache County. In just those five counties alone, that's 85% of all the people in Utah live there. 85%. If we just add a couple more, Tooele and Box Elder, then that's 90% of all the population. So if you're thinking strategically, we want to focus there, don't we? It doesn't mean we're not concerned about people who live out here, but strategically, this is where we want to go. Okay, so with our 2020 vision, 20 services by the year 2020, I don't know about you, but I asked myself, how on earth can we do that? What would that look like? And the answer always has to be with a chart. That always has to be the answer to a question like that. Can you map it out? If you can map it out, then it can be. That's what's called vision. Andy Stanley says vision, again, is painting a picture of a preferred future. My preferred future is to reach everyone in Utah with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to have this whole state transformed into historic Bible-believing Christians, because I want them to have what I have and what you have. I like this. This is one of my favorite quotes of all times. G.K. Chesterton has said, "And the more I consider Christianity, the more I found that while it had established a rule and order, the chief aim of that order was to give room for good things to run wild." Christianity isn't just to give rule and order, it's to let good things run wild. This quote is driving our vision this year to take ground. We're on mission just to let some good things run wild, just to trust God, say, God, let's just do this. So how can we possibly get 20 services? We're going to focus on these five top counties. What could we do? Currently, we have three churches in three locations, five services. Okay? Hopefully, you can follow along here. We got some good charts going on. So if we went to this year, 2014, we're planning on planting a church. And if you don't know by now, Josh will talk about it. West Valley is where we're headed this fall. We want to plant a church in West Valley. We'll talk a lot about that in a minute. We really have a Romania church being planted also in the fall. And I would also like to throw out there, it's not on 2014, but probably in 2014, we're going to have a Spanish service, hopefully in our new Draper location. That's kind of what we want to do. So you kind of see, we're kind of filling up these. We want to reach all these counties. 2015, we can have our third service in Draper. And these are just faith numbers, okay? This is just me going, how can we do this? And the pastor's going, how can we do this? in Draper, if we had a third service, which is not out of this world impossible, Salt Lake City here, we could have a second service on Sunday morning, not just Saturday night, but Sunday morning. You say, well, K2 meets there on Sunday morning. And I say, well, they won't be here by that time because they're building another building. They're planning to move out this year sometime. So we'll have this space will be free Sunday morning. Why not plan a church here? I say, let's do it. So in 2015, we could have a church going here and our Spanish service. So we add them up. You kind of see, isn't this a great chart? See how they're adding up on the side and they're color-coded? It is awesome. You got to admit, 2016, what if we planted a church in Ogden and then Provo added a third service? They have two now. What about West Valley? Second service by then, that's going to bust out. West Valley's going to go crazy, and you're going to hear why in just a little bit from Josh. 2017, maybe an Orem church plant. Let's continue to reach Utah County. South Jordan church plant, Ogden second service, 2018. These are dreams. Logan, up north. Let's reach that county, Cache County. Orem, second service. These churches are growing. St. George in 2020. Let's go down to Washington County, West Valley City, third service, South Jordan, second service. That doesn't just give us 20. That gave us 21. So we add an extra one just for fun. Okay, 21 services by the year 2020. We can do this, men and women. This is not impossible. I just want to point it out to you. If you can make a chart, it can happen. All right? It can happen. Why not? Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just let good things run wild? Do we have a need in Utah? There's a need. How can this possibly happen? We need more elders. We need more leaders raised up. We need more pastors. We need more workers. We need more money. It all takes men, women, and money. It just does. To be able to reach a county, to be able to reach a country. So here's our short-term vision. Send a team to Cluj, Romania. We have three families that are trying to raise money and figure out how to make this happen in their lives, to take their families to Cluj, Romania, to live there with their families. That could happen. The plan is that's going to happen this summer. We have three families in the Rock that are going to move to Romania and have a work started there. We got somebody over there right now. Jim McFall is there right now as we're talking. I had some interaction today with him. He's in Romania. God has done an amazing work there. If you haven't heard the story, ask me about it. The Rock, West Valley, we're planning on doing this. And we're just going to trust God and let good things run wild and have a new service, a new location, new building. And some of you are going to be involved in that in West Valley this fall. And I would really like to start a Hispanic service in all our locations. Why not? You know, I could ask Felipe. When is it, Felipe? When are we going to get 25% in Utah? When is that? It's 2050. The state of Utah will have 25% Hispanic population, they estimate. Yeah, thank you, Liz. Woo! So I would love to have Spanish services in all our locations. We're hoping to. We're looking. I'm working with Felipe trying to figure out how we can do this in the Draper location this fall. So that would be three additional services just this year to add to our five right now. It's very exciting. So we got some pastors that we are going to recognize tonight. We'll get to that at the end of the service. We'll pray for them. But we're starting. And Josh will tell you the process and how we got to that point. We also have another cool chart, which I won't go through. But, you know, in my mind, I go, what has to happen? So if we want to plant a church in West Valley in October in here, and we're going to have our building built in Sandy, hopefully in September, and we're going to plant a church in Romania in October, then a whole bunch of junk has to happen between now and then. And it's already happened. We're right here. We're announcing the plans to the church. We're going to be praying tonight for our deacon, our leaders, and we're going to have informational meeting. Josh will talk about that coming up next week. If you want to be a part of the West Valley Church plant, next Saturday night, I think we're going to meet and talk about that. I'm not going to go over this. Just know that we are trusting God for huge things this year in 2014, and you're a part of it. God is good, God is great, and he has wonderful plans for us at the Rock Church. He's not done with Utah. 3% is unacceptable. Would you agree with me? We can do better. So with that, I just want to remind you again, if we reach Utah, we will change. If we reach Utah, we'll win the world. We will. Or let me say it the right way. If we win Utah, we will reach the world. It's my saying. I should know it. I made it up, but I believe it. So with that, Josh, I'm going to invite Josh up to give us specific plans wherever he went. Oh, he was waiting in the back with his sweet sweater. Give Josh a round of applause.
Hello, church. My name is Josh Whitney. I'm one of the four pastors. That'll be the last time I get to say that. So I'm going to talk for a few minutes about why West Valley, why the west side of Salt Lake. I want to talk through the location and my prayer related to that, and then Steele's going to speak briefly after that. To have three pastors speak in one night and keep it tight will be a minor miracle. So my wife and I moved to Utah in 2003 from Colorado after I finished my master's, and we lived in an apartment in Cottonwood Heights on the east side. We had one kiddo. When we started looking for our first house, we moved out to the west side. We moved to West Valley City, and now we have five kids. So we have raised the majority of our family on the west side of the valley. We go on dates on the west side. We shop on the west side. My kids and I have visited the vast majority of the parks on the west side of Salt Lake County. Westside pride runs strong in my house. Since I'm the pastor who lives out west, for years people have said, when are we going to plant a rock church on the west side of Salt Lake? And Bill just laid out a plan. We've been dreaming and talking about this stuff for years. And so driving around West Valley, meeting with guys, a bunch of you have moved out west as you have bought your first home. I thought, God, would you have us plant a church on the west side of Salt Lake? And so 4 months ago, we had our pastor overnighter, our motley crew right here. We were up in the cabin in the mountains. Those of you mourning the loss of my beard, it will return. So as pastors, the four of us were praying and dreaming, God, what would you have us do this year? And Bill talked about obviously stepping out with new pastors that we're doing tonight. And this church plant are two major things that God brought to mind for us to do. And the first place that popped into my mind was West Valley, the west side of Salt Lake County. Why West Side? Why the West Valley beyond? That's where I live, and it's way too far to drive over here. Is there a need for churches on the west side of Salt Lake County? That's the question. So God has kind of walked me through a mental process. We have not picked the exact location. It could be West Valley or Kearns or Taylorsville. It could be somewhere in that area. If you know of an empty, cheap building, why don't you email me about it in the next few weeks and let me know about a building that I don't know about. So the exact location is to be determined. Here's a map of the west side. The white border is bordering West Valley City. There's Taylorsville, Kearns, and Magna. And like I said, we're not locked into West Valley City proper. But just for discussion's sake, let's focus on there. Inside of the white line, there live 130,000 people, which makes West Valley the second largest city in the entire state of Utah, behind Salt Lake City. So around Christmas time, my family and I went back to Colorado to visit our family. And while we were there, we met up with Joe and Liz, who live in Greeley, Colorado. Here's a picture of Greeley, Colorado from outer space. So here's Greeley, here's Evans, and you notice it's surrounded by green. It's surrounded by farm country. So I'm sitting there with Joe and Liz, and I said, Joe, how big is Greeley? Because he lives there. And he said, I don't know. So I pulled out of my phone and I Googled it. Between Greeley and Evans, there's 130,000 people, which, if you're paying attention, is the same as West Valley City. Greeley is the 12th biggest city in the state of Colorado. And Joe and Liz are part of our sister church there in Greeley. You might have met, if you went to Faith Walkers, you might have met people from the Greeley Church. We have a Great Commission sister church in Greeley right now. And so I'm thinking about West Valley and Greeley. I'm going, they're the same size. And so I called up Joe and Liz and said, hey, cut out of your phone book all the pages that say church and mail those to me. And so they did. Here they are. Here's all five pages of churches from Greeley, Colorado. You go, why didn't you Google it? I did Google it. I wanted to double check my count. So I thought if the church is legitimate enough to go in a phone book, it's probably a legitimate church. So I took this list and I sorted through, and like Bill was talking about, what churches are that you have a high probability that they're going to preach the gospel, that we're saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And I counted about 75 churches in Greeley, which may or may not seem like a lot to you. And so I did, it's like back-to-back engineering right here. So in Greeley, Colorado, there's 130,000 people. I counted about 75 Christian churches that have a high probability of preaching the gospel. That breaks down to one church per 1,700 people in Greeley, Colorado. And you know, Bill reminded me this week, in Greeley right now in our sister church, they've decided there's a need for more churches, and so they're going to plant a church on the west side of Greeley this year. They're going to step out in faith because they go, one church per 1,700, there's a lot of people that need the gospel. So you know where this is going. So when I received these five pages right here, I ran upstairs and grabbed the West Valley phone book. And I pulled out these pages right here. Page is a strong word. It's one page. It's one side of one page. On the back here, we have clowns and cleaners. On this side, we have churches. And again, I went through the list and I Googled it to double check. And I came up with these stats right here. So West Valley City has 15 Christian churches that have a high probability of preaching the gospel. That boils out at 130,000 residents to one church that has a high probability of preaching the gospel per 8,700 people in West Valley City. And that's the thing about Utah, is that you could run that analysis on any city in our state, and we're going to come up like that. You go, well, Josh, that's because Colorado is the Bible Belt. It's not. I read this in the Denver Post. A national Gallup poll taken in February 2013 ranked Colorado 37th of the 50 states in terms of religiosity. So in addition to introducing an incredible vocab word to us, religiosity, this points out that Colorado is not the Bible Belt. There are 36 states in our country that have more religion than Colorado, and we are five times less than Greeley, Colorado. Hang with me for just a couple more minutes. So I drilled a little bit deeper on West Valley. And Bill referred to, I read a number of surveys online and articles, and they all came to that same number. There might be 3, 4, 5% evangelical Christians in our state, and to people that believe that you're saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And so I took those numbers and made this slide. Well, let's compare real quick in case you missed it. Greeley, 75 Christian churches, West Valley, 15. That's one per 1,700. That's one per 8,700. And that need, if we did that analysis, I am sure it's the same for Logan and St. George and Orem and South Jordan. It's like that throughout the entire state. So using that 3% evangelical Christian, drill just a little bit deeper. West Valley population, again, 130,000 people, 3% evangelical Christians. That means there are about 4,000 evangelical Christians in West Valley City right now. And that means there are 126,000 unreached people. That's our neighbors, that's our coworkers, that's our family, that's our friends. There's 126,000 people that don't believe that you're saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Christian, if that number doesn't stop you, your heart has grown very cold to the gospel and what God has called us to do. If we go, there's 126,000 unreached people 20 minutes from here, we should do something about it. Jesus said this in Matthew 9, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Men and women, this entire state needs more Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches. Apparently, this entire state needs five times as many churches per city to catch up with the 37th least religious state in our entire country. So my prayer is that God would raise up an army of workers from this church to go, you know what, 126,000 people, that's worth my time, my prayer, my outreach, my service, and loving people. 126,000 people, that's worth me doing some things that go against my prejudice, that go out of my comfort zone. That's 126,000 people, I pray God gives us hearts of compassion, that we would see the crowds and we would respond like Jesus. And my prayer is that God would stir a number of your hearts to go, you know what? I would like to be part of that church plan. I would like to go to West Valley or Taylorsville or Kearns or wherever God leads us. And I would like to be a harvester, a laborer for Jesus, and see what God does on the west side. So Steele is going to continue our talk.
Thanks, Josh. Hey, Rock Church. Well, unlike my
my two co-pastors there. I am not a former engineer. I have no charts. I have no graphs. Don't know how to read them. And I'm not quite sure where I even am on a map right now. But I do love Jesus. And I know there's people over there, and we've got the gospel, so we got a lot of work to do. So with that said, as a church, we've heard already what our larger vision is of reaching Utah with 20 services by 2020. Josh just told us about our immediate local plan of planting a church in West Valley. And so now as a church, all of you should be sitting here asking, what's next for me then? What does that mean for me? And so I kind of want to coach us through that. As a church, you need to know, we are moving forward. And as we move forward and we're taking ground and have plans to be taking more ground, the first thing that you all need to do as a church is pray. That's your first immediate response. What's next for me? Pray. Specifically pray whether or not God is calling you to be a part of this West Valley church plant. You need to pray by yourself, pray with your spouse, pray with your close friends, pray with your relatives. Ask God, do you want me to be involved in this church plant? You need to pray. You need to seek God. You need to read His word. Ask Him, Lord, am I somehow involved specifically with going west? That's the first thing. Pray. The second thing you guys need to do, if you feel like God is asking you to be a part of this West Valley church plant, if that is you and it's stirring in your heart even a little bit tonight, your first practical step beyond praying is joining us for our first of many informational meetings that we are going to have next Saturday, February 8th, here at this building at 6 p.m. sharp. So be praying, and in your heart you might say, I think God might be leading me there, or I want some more information. So while praying, join us next Saturday. If you can't make it next Saturday at 6 p.m. sharp for that meeting, don't worry. It's one of many. But that's your first practical step beyond prayer. Join us. Come together. Let's start seeing who wants to be involved or who thinks they might want to be involved and start praying even together. The third thing that you guys need to know as a church, as we're taking ground, and this is where I'm going to spend the most of my time, the bulk of my time, you need to know that this is a unique time in the history of our church for every single member to grow in faith, in evangelism, in outreach, in community, in mission, in fellowship with the saints, and with fellowship with Jesus. God is giving all of us an amazing opportunity to step up and not settle. And here's what I mean. If God, listen closely, if God leads you to be a part of this West Valley church plant, you are going to be stretched. You're going to be stretched in your outreach. You're going to be stretched to pray more. You're going to be stretched to meet new people. You're going to be stretched to step into roles of responsibility and potential leadership. You're going to be stretched in your corporate worship. It's going to look a little different. You're going to be stretched in your small groups. You're going to be stretched in your relationships. If God is calling you to go to the West Valley church plant, you are going to have to get used to stepping up and meeting new people, engaging them in conversation, not being on the sidelines, but actually being in the game. God is going to stretch you if you go west. If you don't go west, if you are specifically, all our campuses, but specifically if you feel like God is asking you to stay in Salt Lake City, here's the deal. You also are going to be stretched. You're going to need to be praying more. You're going to need to meet new people. You're going to need to step into more roles of responsibility and potential leadership. You're going to be stretched in your worship and in your small groups and likewise in your relationships. If you stay in your local church campus and don't go west, you're going to have to get used to stepping up and meeting new people and engaging them in conversation. Likewise, not on the sidelines, but in the game. And here's why. When we have a core group of red hot mission-minded church planters leave this campus, we are going to need to fill their shoes. This campus is going to get smaller. There's going to be lots of empty rooms in here. We're going to need to have our radars tuned in. Who is new? How can I make a connection? How can I make them feel welcome?
And you need to know this too. Our goal as pastors is not just to plant a church in West Valley. Rather, our bigger goal is to give everyone an opportunity to grow in faith and watch God astound us. Hebrews tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. So God is giving us an opportunity as a church to display faith. And as pastors, you should know this too. We are praying that each campus, all the campuses, will thrive with more visitors and more people engaged with Jesus and community. And this can only happen when all of us, if we go or if we stay, step up. Whether or not you stay at your current church campus or whether or not you go plant a West Valley church, you need to know that right now, starting tonight, it's time to engage in the fight. Right now, it is time to really ask God, please really use me. Help me get off of the sidelines. Help me get in the game. Now is the time for all of us as a church. It's historical, this moment, tonight, to ask God, open up our eyes so we can see the harvest around us. Now is the time to see your church campus, whether you go or you stay, to see your church as a part of your personal responsibility in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to see it that way. We're on mission, baby. If you've been praying, God, show me, how can I serve you more? If you have a prayer even a little bit like that in your heart, God, teach me to serve you more. Show me where I can be used more. I'm telling you right now, as one of your pastors, God is answering your prayer. He's showing you. This is how to serve him more. Whether or not you stay or you go, now is the time to be all in. For the next few months, we are going to be working to develop a West Valley church plant and a planting team while also figuring out more ways to reinvigorate, refocus, re-energize the sending church campuses. We want to make sure that both the West Valley Church campus is thriving and the Salt Lake campus is thriving and the Sandy campus is thriving and the Provo campus is thriving. So we need strong teams to go and we need strong teams to stay. And we're going to be working as your pastors to make sure we're shepherding them all well. And you can be a part of this right now by resolving, God, when I am asked to step up, use me. Just make that decision in your heart. God, when they ask me, when there are places I need to be used, use me. You can be a part of it now by ramping up your prayer life. Pray for God's will. Pray for his leading. Pray for his protection. Pray for these new deacons we're going to bring up in a moment and these new pastors we're going to bring up. Pray for more visitors. Pray for more salvations. Pray, 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 pray. I want to share this verse with you. These verses. I didn't bring it on PowerPoint. You guys can hang with me. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's several verses I want to read to you, and it pertains to us tonight. Let me give you some background real quick, and then I'm going to finish up. The Apostle Paul is leading the church in Corinth through leadership changes and growth. And while he's doing so, he calls the Christians to glorify God and to remember that everything they do should be seen through the lens of eternity. So with that said, and what we're sharing with you tonight, listen to these verses freshly. The Apostle Paul says this, after all, developing new leadership, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? He asks. We're only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. He said, I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. The Apostle Paul says, because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that we have already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He finishes it like this. Anyone who builds on that foundation, speaking about Jesus, may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, this is the last day. Fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the wall of flames. Who's Bill? Who's Josh? Who's Steele? Who's Mac? Who's Billy or Brian or Austin or Caleb or Tony or these new deacons we're going to bring up? Who are we but God's servants? We are planters of the seed or ones who just simply water it, but it is God who makes it grow. And all of us are approaching a time of stretching where we have to remember, like the Apostle Paul charges, that our labor, our work in this life will be placed on an altar of fire. That is coming. That day is coming. And what we have done for our own gain without the kingdom of God in view will be burned up and will amount to nothing. But what we do in this life for Jesus, what we do in this life for his church, what we do in this life to walk in faith, that will remain. That will last forever. And so as we're taking ground, our time is coming for us to build on that lasting foundation. Our time is coming for us, all of our campuses, not to settle, but to step up. And so if there was just one sentence I could share with you tonight, it's this. Salt Lake City needs you. Provo needs you. Sandy needs you. West Valley Church needs you. We need to take ground. And now's the time to step up. And so with all these plans, tonight we are going to do something so exciting and historical as a church. Tonight we get the privilege of publicly recognizing qualified men of leadership to help us lead God's church. So with that said, I want to call the new deacons and the new pastors and Bill and Mac and Josh and Pat Sokol and John Meyer. Come up here to the stage, guys. Come on up. Yeah. So I want to first start. So exciting! So I want to introduce John Meyer here. He is one of our regional directors. Many of you know John, and it's awesome that you're here. So I'm going to hand the mic to you, brother.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to move to Salt Lake. You guys are in the middle of some really exciting stuff. I just can't wait to see what the next 5 years looks like in the Salt Lake Valley through your church. It's just going to be, you're going to see God do amazing things. And I'm going to just share one thing about all this, because I have thought about this particular topic a lot of times. I believe one of the very key measures of the progress of the gospel is the recognition of new elders. That means that there's people there for them to shepherd. That means there's a whole lot of things that's happened to bring it to this point. One of the real measures of health of in a church is the recognition of elders. And I don't think I've ever been anywhere where there have been five men recognized at once. So you guys can just be really thankful that God's in your midst. God's doing cool things among you. Your community is really displaying the kingdom of God. And Jesus looks down and he smiles. And I just think you guys are really blessed. So Pat and I are just thankful to get to be part of it and be here. So,
amen. Thank you. So here's what we're going to do. Let's have all you new leaders come up here, all the pastors on this side. This isn't the sheep and the goats. This is just pastors over here. We're going to pray for the deacons first. So the deacons will just be over here. I want you to take one knee, just drop down like you're in the middle of the Super Bowl. Just drop it down there. That's it. So deacons here. Okay, and we're just going to come behind you. We're going to pray for the deacons first. We got three gentlemen here. I'm going to have Josh, why don't you pray? Why don't you pray for the deacons, and then we'll move over to the pastors.
God, I thank you for these brothers, Lord. I thank you for what you have done in their life. I thank you for Andrew and Ramsey and Troy. I thank you, God, that you have blessed us with these men that have been serving for so many years so faithfully, Lord. I thank you that they have character that is evident to all of us, Lord. I thank you that They've been tested, and I thank you that the church approves, and in fact, the church is excited, Lord. I pray for these guys that you would give them grace in their marriage, give them grace with their kids, give them grace at their job, give them grace with their service at church. I pray, Lord, that you would bless their leadership as servants, as deacons, as slaves of the church. Help them to just pour their lives out to build your kingdom. I pray, God, that they would experience the blessing there in 1 Corinthians 3, where it says they get a good standing in the church and their faith is strengthened. Lord, I pray for these brothers that their standing in the church would grow and that they would just be blessed and used by you in mighty ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. How about Max Steele and Pat? You guys pray for the pastors?
Father God, we love you. What a special treat it is to be here in this moment, Lord. And it's you. You're our pastor, Father God. We're just following you, Father God. And I pray you'd help each one of these men, Father God, to follow you with all their heart, to trust you with all their heart, Father God. I thank you that we get to be with men of character. God, I am just blessed by that. I pray that you protect them, protect their families, lead them, guide them, and direct them. God, I pray that they would. You'd involve them in things that are just way beyond what they can even comprehend. Like Steele said earlier, we would be astounded, and these men would be astounded by you, Father God. He just said to delight yourselves in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, Father God, and we are seeing it right now.
Lord, I don't think that there's anybody more excited than you. Lord, that you rejoice over your saints here and over these specific elders, God, with great gladness. Lord, that you rejoice, you sing songs of joy. God, it's because you love your church that you have raised up these men. Lord, it's because you love us that you've made them shepherds and given them shepherds' hearts. Lord, we do, like Max said, we love you, we adore you, that you have done something great in our midst. And we acknowledge, God, it's not because of individual talents or gifting, but rather it's because, God, you have made it clear. Holy Spirit, you have anointed these men in a unique way, God, to lead your most precious possession, the church. Lord, thank you that our protection is you. Thank you, Lord, that our security is you, that you go before us, Lord. You go behind us and you place your hand of blessing on our head. And Lord, specifically for these men, I pray that you would speak to their hearts peace, excitement. I pray, Lord, that you would give them insight, joy, and special relationship with you and your people. God, we thank you that we get to be a part of your great plan, of your kingdom building. And personally, Lord, as your son, I thank you that I get to labor with such great men of character.
King Jesus, this is very exciting and very sober. There's a call. There is a war being fought. And charts don't indicate, God, that men and women are dying and perishing. And on these five men's chests are being painted bullseyes. God, they need your church to care for them, to support them, to honor them rightly. God, not to see them as infallible, but to see them as your anointed. God, and to trust that somehow, even in their frailty as human beings, you have given them a measure of grace to lead your people. May they experience the special grace of the power that comes with this office. It's real. It's significant. I am positive every demon on the planet knows that there are warriors stepping into the fray here. God, I pray we would take that seriously, and we wouldn't pray with just a dream of cool things happening, Lord, but there really is life and death in the balance. And I pray you would give these men grace to guard their heart, to pay attention to all their core motivations and their doctrine and their own stuff, God, that they would bring that to you. You promised that they would abide in you, they would bear much fruit. God, we trust you to keep score. We trust that when you say much, it's a big number. And God, I pray that these men would just cultivate and pursue their first love. God, their identity be rooted in the fact that you are with them. You've sent them. You are pleased when they care for your sheep. God, and you would rest in that identity, not in any outcomes. God, grant them mercy. Grant this whole assembly and all the fruit that it represents in the coming 50 years, a mercy to hang on to our first love, and did it all for the name and glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, why don't you guys stand up? Give God a thank. Keep clapping. Thank God for what he's done for these guys. Amen. Amen. Very exciting. So what we're going to do, we're gonna sing a few more songs, and then we've got, you can't have a recognition service without pizza, so we ordered a bunch of pizza. Lots of food going to be in the back there. So we're going to party together, right? Let's party down. Let's worship God. Let's really give him praise. Let's sing loud tonight. And then we're going to have pizza and party together to celebrate what God's done. Amen? All right. Thanks, guys. God bless you.